Oh, it's his brother, his twin brother. That's what it is. He said this is his twin brother, Joseph. That's what he said. Now we recognize Brother John. He said he got a haircut. Let's see, I need a Bible, don't I? We are going to be in Matthew chapter number 8 this morning. Matthew chapter number 8. Hope you get a blessing from coming to church today. I like to go to church. Matthew chapter number 8. I don't have anything to read for you this morning, but you folks know everything that's going on in the world, and so give us all something to pray about. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what happens anyway. God's got everything in control. And whatever God has said is going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass no matter who's in the Supreme Court, no matter who's the president, no matter who's the vice president, no matter who's the Speaker of the House. We don't like some of them, but they're there. There's a lot of things we don't like in this world. But the Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world, for all that's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God. And this world, there's nothing wrong with the earth except for the curse that's on the earth. But this world's going to be destroyed anyway. You know? So in Matthew chapter number 8, we had verse number 1 to 4 last week. We went over that just a little bit. It's about the leper. About a leper being cleansed. And, you know, Jesus came and touched him and cleansed him. We'll read over that. And we got a lot of the things there in the chapter. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning as we endeavor and try to teach the words of God. Pray that you'd help us to be a blessing. And God, we pray that you'd take these things, Lord. And God, I know we've read over them 100 times, but there's some things there. And we pray that you'd please apply them to our hearts and teach us today. May the Spirit of God be our teacher, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the leper's being cleansed. I'm sure that leper, when he saw that leprosy coming on him, he thought, oh my, he said, I'm never going to get out of this. And he wouldn't have, except for the fact that he met up with Jesus Christ. Bible says there in chapter 8, verse number 1, Jesus came down from the mountain. So he's been teaching people and taught them the sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, for 3 chapters there. And he's finished. And when he comes down from there, he meets this fellow. Last night I went over to myself and Amber and Clay and my wife and Caden. We went over to Amarillo and preached a little sermon for them over there at a workers' banquet. And I talked about Luke chapter number 18, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And I talked about one of the things there that I talked about is what happens when somebody meets Jesus. Those who met up with Jesus Christ and they paid attention to him and they believed who he was, their life was changed. The direction of their life was changed, never to be the same again. And that's what happens to this man right here, this leper. People's lives can be changed, never be the same again.
That's right.
The direction of their life. I mean, you take, for instance, the Apostle Paul. He's killing people because they're Christians, and then he becomes a Christian. He becomes one of those people that he persecuted. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul, he thought, man, the rest of his life, he's going to be a Pharisee. And, you know, he hated Jesus Christ, and probably around the same age. And he had his life planned out. He's going to be a Pharisee, and he's going to go after these people that call themselves Christians. He's going to put them in jail and in prison, and some of them will be killed. And then all of a sudden, he's on his way to Damascus, and bright lights knocks him to the ground, and his life is forever changed, never the same anything at all, you see. And so that's the way it is. Some people, they stand afar off. They don't get up close to Jesus. Their life is not changed. But a person's life can be changed, radically changed. your life was probably radically changed because you're in Sunday school this morning. I mean, who does that in the year 2020? Not all that many. But your life was radically changed one day because you met Jesus. Here's a leper. He's got this awful disease. And he hears about Jesus Christ and he says, this may be my only opportunity to get close enough to him because I've heard about this man. I've heard this prophet going around Israel and that he has power to heal. And he said, this may be my only opportunity to get close enough to meet him and call out to him for help. So he finds him, he meets him, he runs and falls down at his feet. And he said, what did he call him? He said in verse 2, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And he's healed. He has the power of healing. He didn't say, I'll pray for you. He didn't say, you know, I'll pray for God to heal. No, he has the power in himself to heal. He has the gift of healing. He's the one that where it is written in Deuteronomy chapter number 18, it's about verse number 15 there where Moses prophesied and said that God would raise up a prophet like unto me. And I want to look at that because the Muslims, they think that is Muhammad. So it says there in Deuteronomy chapter number 18 and verse number 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Verse number 18 says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. You see, the prophet that is to come is Jesus Christ, and he has to be from among the brethren. In other words, he has to be a Jew. Muhammad was not a Jew. Muhammad is a descendant of Ishmael. He can't fit the bill. He can't fit the bill. Besides that, he couldn't heal a sick cat. He did not have the gift of healing like Jesus Christ did. Moses had the gift of healing. Moses said, Lord, they're not gonna believe me if I go out there and tell them that God has sent me to deliver you out of Egypt. They're not going to believe me. God said, I'll give you some signs. And the first sign he said, it's about in Exodus chapter 4, I think it is. He said, put your hand in your shirt there. So he put it in there and he brought it out and it's all leper. It's got leprosy. It's white with leprosy, yeah. He said, okay, put it back in. He put it back in, brings it out again. He's cured. First healing in the Bible. Nobody got sick up until then. How about that? So Jesus had that. He had those signs and he gave those signs to the apostles and he sent them out. He sent them out healing everywhere. So there you have the story about the leper and he was healed. Verse number 4, Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, because the priest has to pronounce him clean and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Verse number 5 to 13 is the story of the centurion's servant who was healed. It says in verse number 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. How about that? He's a Gentile. He's a Gentile and Jesus is going to come heal him. I think there may be a reason for that. We'll talk about it in a little bit here. The centurion in verse number 8 answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. What a humble spirit. But speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. See, there's faith right there. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." So let's notice verse number five there. I want you to notice three things there. Number one is the city. What's that? Capernaum. Number two is the centurion. And number three is his attitude there. He's beseeching him. I was looking at some things about Capernaum. It looks like that Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, spent a lot of time in Capernaum. I don't know if he had a house there, but he might have had a house there. It looked like maybe that's one of his headquarters. It's on the Sea of Galilee. Be on the right-hand side, whatever direction that is, northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. Nazareth, where he lived when he was little, small, I guess you'd say, is down between, it's not on the Sea of Galilee, but it's between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea, sort of in the middle there, see. So when you hear him say he's by the sea, then he's not at Nazareth. He's up there by Capernaum or one of those other places. I want to show you some things or some scriptures. Look back a little bit in chapter 4 of Matthew, verse number 13, just some things so you'll know, get some things in your mind about where he's at. Matthew 4:13, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt." I looked and it looks like it's about 20 to 25 miles from Nazareth to Capernaum. "Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt." Now just stop and think. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't go out and jump in his car or his pickup and run over there, you know, in 20 minutes like we do from here to Clovis, run out and jump in the car. You know, what's he got to do? He's probably going to walk. He might possibly ride a donkey or something like that. But you know, that's if you're going to walk, I believe that's pretty much an all-day trip, wouldn't it? If you're going to go 20 miles, you're going to walk 20 miles in one day. How many of y'all have walked 20 miles in one day? Not too many, you know. But that's a good trip, you know. One day's journey. So see, that's a big thing. That verse number 13, "Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali." In other words, those tribes were in that area. Turn on over a little bit. Go over to Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 21. Mark 1:21 says this. "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught." And why I showed you that is because Capernaum is a city large enough to have a synagogue. A synagogue, you know what a synagogue is? It'd be like a building like this where they met. It'd be like a forerunner of a church building or something like that. And Jesus taught there a lot. Y'all remember that story in John chapter number 6 where Jesus told about, "I am the bread of life," and that sermon or discourse, he said, "I am the bread of life." He taught that in the synagogue at Capernaum, you see, that's where it was. But I don't know about you, but that helps me to, you know, that kind of helps me to get to know Jesus a little bit better. What he did, where he was when he did it, and all those kinds of things. You see, where are we at? Mark 1:21, he's in Capernaum. He's on the Sabbath day. You see, Jesus keeps the law. We're still in the Old Testament here in the book of Matthew. Until Jesus dies on the cross, the Old Testament, the old law is still in force. When Jesus breathes his last breath on the cross, that's the end of the law right there. And the New Testament comes in force. The thief on the cross is the first one to be saved under the New Testament. He was still alive when Jesus was dead. Y'all see that? chapter 2 and verse number 1, Mark. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together. See, now, I don't know. I'm wondering, is that his house? Jesus have a house there that maybe he used during his ministry, because he spent a lot of time up there. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we're going to come to that in the lesson here. Yeah. It could have been. Could have been. It's either Peter, and Peter also may have had a house. If he didn't, at least his mother-in-law did. Yeah, that's right. Peter was up there. And as a matter of fact, that's where he called Matthew. May call Matthew. You know, Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom. We read that. Well, that was up there. That was up there in Capernaum. See, all of his disciples are Galileans, except I don't know about Judas. Does anybody know? He was a man of Kurioth. Judas Iscariot, a man of Kurioth. So I don't know if he was from there, but most of the disciples, they're all Galileans, and they're from up there, and he spent a lot of time up there. See, so I don't know if this is his house, or like you said, it could have possibly been Peter's house in verse number 2. See, people are all gathered around his house here. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. I just like to think about that. I just like to think about Jesus standing there in a house with a lot of people gathered around, hanging in the doors and in the windows and outside and everything, and Jesus preaching to them. I'll tell you, just something, that just does something for me. On over to the right just a little bit, chapter 9. And verse number 33. Chapter 9 and verse number 33. And he came to Capernaum. And look at this. It says, being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? So maybe it's the same house. Could have been his house. Could have been Peter's house. Anyway, on over to the next book, Luke. Luke chapter number 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Forgot what that says. Luke 4:16. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Okay, so they had a synagogue in Nazareth too. And he taught in the synagogue. It was a normal thing for him. Verse number 31 of the same chapter. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. So see, it was a common thing. He was like a rabbi. He was like a rabbi. Next book, John chapter 2 and verse number 12. John chapter 2 and verse number 12. He's traveling here with his family. John 2:12 says, after this he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples. Okay. So that, number one, it says he and his brethren. He's got four brothers, that's four, and himself, that's five. His mother, that's six. And his disciples, if he had them all with him, that's 12. That's 18 people. Well, that's a pretty good little company, and they're probably walking. See, they may be walking. We know they're not in a van or something like that. You know, we know that. We know there's not a railroad going by, and they're going to jump on a railroad or anything like that. So see, that's a company that they're in. Chapter 4 and verse 46. Chapter 4 and verse number 46 says, let's read 45 and 46. And when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And so he goes and he heals him. There's a healing there. Chapter 6 and verse number 17. Chapter 6 and verse number 17. And entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And this is where Jesus walked on the water. Yeah. Verse 18, the sea arose by reason of the great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. So see, I'm just noting for you all the things that happened near Capernaum. Chapter 6 and verse number 59. Now this is what I was telling you about. Look at verse 48, I am the bread of life. This is his discourse or his sermon on I am the bread of life. It happened at Capernaum. Verse number 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Okay, all right, that's enough. Back over to chapter 8 and verse number 5. Number one, I told you it's Capernaum, the city there, and we note some things about that. Number two, he is a centurion. All right, if he's a centurion, that means he's a Roman soldier, this fellow. He's a Roman soldier and he's a centurion, so that means he has 100 men under his command. And Luke chapter 7, you don't need to turn over there, but Luke chapter 7 in verse number 5, the people came out to speak to Jesus about this centurion, and they said this. They said, he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So he must have built the synagogue where they are in Capernaum there. See, now, does not the Bible say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3, that Jesus said, or God said to Abraham, he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. Here's a man who is a Gentile and he's blessing Israel. He built them a synagogue. He comes running to Jesus and he said, my servant is sick. And would you come, please? Jesus said, I'll go and heal him right now. I wonder if that had a bearing on him, that this man was good to Israel. He loveth our nation, he said. That's Luke chapter 7 and verse number 5. So that's the centurion. And then the third thing I point out in that verse right there, beseeching him, it shows the attitude that this man had. He comes. Maybe he falls down, or he's at least comes with respect speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, verse number 6, my servant. If he has a servant, how many of y'all have a servant at home? Probably not too many of us. That shows maybe he's fairly well off. He's got a servant. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm not talking about your husband. I'm not talking about your kids. I'm talking about a paid servant. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I can't imagine that. I just never did think it was fair for Elijah to have somebody to pour water on his hands. Of course, I guess if you was Elijah, you deserve it. Or Elisha. Elisha's the same way. They got somebody that travels with them. You know, he got somebody that travels with them. Wouldn't that be something if you're a preacher and you had somebody? I bet there's some of these rich preachers that do this. They got somebody to look up scriptures for them and put them all together and help them to think, you know. They don't have to sit and agonize like I do, see. Verse number 6, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. You know what the palsy is? The palsy comes from the word paralysis. Can't move some part of his body or something. He can't move it. And that's what's wrong with him. And you know what? The centurion, I wonder if you think like this. The centurion had evidently heard of Jesus because Jesus spent a lot of time there and he had taught in the synagogue that possibly this man had built for them. I wonder if they knew each other. I wonder if this man possibly had heard Jesus speak or he had seen him or got close to him. I just wonder if he, you know. But now then, when he has a need, he comes running to the centurion. He said, Lord, my servant is sick. Jesus says immediately. He didn't say like he said to, you know, y'all remember that story about the woman of Cana? Her daughter was grievously sick and tormented, and she come running to Jesus. She said, Lord, my daughter is sick. Would you come and heal him? And you know what Jesus said? Well, I can't come. I came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't give the bread of that I brought for the lost sheep of the, you know, to the Israel for dogs. Call the Gentiles a bunch of dogs. And she got what she needed because she said, yeah, I'm a dog, all right, but how about some crumbs? How about some crumbs? Well, he didn't say to this woman that. He didn't say that to this man, this centurion. He said, no, immediately. No, I'm coming. I'll be there right away. The centurion, verse number 8, answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You see, again, up here he's beseeching him again. Here you see the humble spirit of the man. He said, Lord, I know what it's like to be able just to speak the word because I'm a centurion. I've got 100 men under me. And I know what it's like just to say to somebody, go do this, and they go do it. I don't have to go over there. I don't have to, you know, if my men obey me, then I don't have to follow them around. He said, Lord, verse number 8, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The next verse says, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth. So he says, I know what that's like. You can do that, Lord. Just speak the word. You don't have to come under my house. He said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. What a humble spirit. What a humble spirit that he had, you see. Him being a Gentile. A Gentile. And so that's verse number 9. You know when he said that, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know what Jesus heard in that talk? You know what he heard? He heard faith. Yes, sir. He heard faith in that, and that man got what he needed. Just like I was telling the folks last night, whenever blind Bartimaeus said, Lord, I want to see. Lord, that I might receive my sight. You know what Jesus heard in those words? He heard faith in those words. You can say that about a lot of people. The publican who smote upon his breast and said, Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, yes. God heard faith in those words. The thief on the cross, when he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what Jesus heard in those words? He heard faith in those words, you see. And they got what they needed. They got what they needed. Verse number 10, and Jesus heard it, and he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. Not just faith, but great faith. No, not in Israel. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? Because here is a Gentile who does not have all of the spiritual benefits that Israel as a nation has. He does. A Gentile didn't have all the promises, didn't have all the covenants, didn't have the scriptures, didn't have any of those things that a Gentile had, but yet here is a Gentile who has great faith that even his own people, the Jews, didn't have. You see, that's why he said that. It's important that you know that so you can understand the next two verses. The next two verses. He said, man, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. That's why he said, no, not in Israel. Because this guy wasn't from Israel. He's in Israel, but he's a Gentile from outside, you see. And he doesn't have the promises, the covenants, the scriptures, the prophets, all of those things that the Jewish people had. Yet, they didn't have the faith that this man had. They didn't have any faith, some of them. They would not accept Jesus as the Messiah. You got to understand that to get these next two verses. Verse number 11 says, and I say unto you, a lot of people don't get this verse. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about what we just covered last week in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. You remember? Look back over there. Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. He's saying over here, let's look at this and see who it is. Verse number 11, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, that be the Gentiles, shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's some Jews, in the kingdom of heaven. We just talked about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom on earth. There'll be many Gentiles that will be there. There'll be some Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are Old Testament. But the next verse, the children of the kingdom, that's the Jews of his day. They don't have the faith. They don't have the faith. That's what he's saying down here about this soldier, this centurion. By the way, talking about soldiers and the military, you know the Bible is a military book.
Yes, sir.
A lot of soldiers in it. The greatest soldier of Israel, I guess you might say. So my favorite character in the whole Bible is Eliezer. Eliezer, he's one of David's mighty men. Nothing bad said about, I can't recall anything bad said about soldiers in the Bible. And David was a soldier. Even King Saul was killed on the battlefield and all of those. And so here's a military man here who has great faith. And you know, But in Acts chapter number 10, what is he called? The centurion there?
Cornelius.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. Cornelius, wasn't he a centurion? Is that what he was? Wasn't he a centurion? See? So here he says, he's talking about the fact that his own nation will not accept him as the Messiah. They're not going to get in. When he sets up his kingdom, they're not going to get to go in. See? He said they'll be cast into outer darkness, hell. Hell. We read back over there just last week in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Y'all see that? Does that make sense to everybody?
Amen.
I say unto you that many shall come from east and west, that be the Gentiles coming to the kingdom of heaven, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that be the Jews of the Old Testament, in the kingdom of heaven, that's his kingdom which he sets up upon the earth. But the children of the kingdom, that'd be the Jews of his day, that do not believe, shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They didn't accept him. Not only is there gnashing of teeth there, but Jews for the last 2,000 years. You got Hitler and all of that and Germany killing the Jews. I mean, they're going to be, you know, all of that stuff happening to those Jews. Why? Because of John chapter 1 and verse number 11. He came into his own received him not. Matthew chapter number, I think it's about chapter number 27, where Jesus said, not Jesus, but the Jews said, his blood be on us and on our children. They ought not to have said that. They ought not to have said that. Okay. Verse number 13, he got what he needed, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I've been looking at faith and a lot of other things for many, many years. I don't have it all figured out. It's like prayer. I've been trying to learn how to pray for a long time. I don't have it all figured out. I don't know if I'll ever figure it all out. See? How do you pray? How to pray right? Read all the scriptures and everything. But as I said not too long ago, the only way to learn how to pray is to pray. To pray, to learn more about a God and all that. As thou hast believed, as your faith is, that's how it'll be, you see. So I guess my faith is pretty weak. So be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. He didn't even have to go to his house. He just said, it's done. That's it. That's it. Here's another verse we need to look at, and so we'll understand. Verse 14 through 17 is the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Mother-in-law. Doesn't that mean that Peter's married? Well, now I thought Peter was the first pope. Was he the first pope? You mean he was married and he's a Jew? He's married and a Jew. Have they ever had a pope like that since? If Peter was the first pope, of course, which he's not. I'm just being, you know. No, of course he wasn't, but they try to say that he was, and they try to say that their church is built upon Peter. That'd be a pretty bad foundation, don't you think? I wouldn't want a church built upon Peter, the Apostle Peter, someone who denied Jesus Christ, you see. And Jesus called him Satan, called him Satan. You wouldn't want a church built upon that. So here he is.